Welcome to the People of Bloomsbury podcast, the first book in the Curled Up and Cozy collection, narrated from the desk of the author, DJ Swales. Part 1, A New Day. Chapter 1, Josie. Josie smiled, counting to three as the thick wooden door clicked closed behind her. Satisfied, she set off along the narrow footpath, half hobbling as she glanced up at the white stucco and red brick mansion block. Street lamps guided her forward, a silhouette in their series of orange halos. The steam of her breath joined the thin mist that lingered in the frigid air. Josie's mind wandered to the required ingredients for the coming day's dinner. She noticed that a few curtained windows in the basement flats of Ridgemount Gardens were already weakly illuminated. A window frame creaked over her head.
"Ah, that will be Mr. Crickieth, putting out the crumbs for the pigeons," she thought, walking on without need of confirmation. For years he had tried to entice them into his small studio, explaining that any feathers shed during the panic elicited after he snapped the window shut would bring him a decade of good luck, or whoever bought the feathers, which he sold in all manner of ways.
Dawn wasn't far away. Josie moved with purpose, but as usual estimated a 30-minute buffer before the sun again rose in curiosity over Bloomsbury. At the corner she paused, using the good side of her face to check the route ahead. Clear, Josie turned into Bedford Square and stole around its circumference, from railing to railing, from door to door. Trained by her years in moonlight, at the first sign of danger, she knew exactly which doorway to bolt into, where darkness was at its deepest, keeping her safe from sight. She studiously avoided daylight, with its racket, crowds of barging elbows, and the cold stares of those that judged what she considered to be her fading beauty. She was far more comfortable bundling up in the lightless hours, to share the streets with sharp-nosed foxes, a few easily avoidable drunks, and even one or two of the predatory nightwalkers that sometimes showed up in Bloomsbury's wee hours, though they mainly stayed towards the bustle of King's Cross. Josie froze like a cat at any new silhouette, a discombobulated cough, or a slinky, as she called sinister people hiding in shadows. The slinkies were trapped in the life of an older London. Living spectres, they haunted the last decaying red light bed and breakfast guest houses clustered close to Victorian railway stations, with dank air, threadbare carpets, and peeling wallpaper. They were the kind of places where the hours were counted in the time spent staring at ceilings, and the seconds in the drip, drip, drip of rusty taps and cracked porcelain sinks. Josie did not consider herself a slinky, bitter, afraid, cornered at the fringes of life.
No, many of her senses were keener than in her youth. But for 20 years, she had retreated further into her parallel world, seeking a place of peace. That said, those that knew Josie, or needed her, knew where to look, and were instructed in what to bring so that her belly was never left to growl. In the day, Josie felt like some sickly animal, alone on the savannah, among nimble gazelles and the gaze of lions. But the night was different. She owned the darkness, sheltering in its oneness and embracing it with the wide eyes of an elder owl.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
On the very same street where author J.M. Barrie had penned Peter Pan, Josie caught the eyes of a sickly child looking down from a high window. For the fifth consecutive night, Josie and the boy shared the stars, moon, and the creaking London plane trees. There on the deserted pavement, she prepared herself. Removing her woolen gloves, she summoned graceful movements learned years before to take possession of her limbs. Her legs had long lost their abilities to enchant, so she relied on her arms, which were more than enough. As Josie performed for her young audience, she closed her eyes. Her thin arms reached up like a symphony conductor. They quivered like the branches of an adolescent windblown willow, entwining like snakes one moment, and in the next, open in an invitation to the world. Long years of stagecraft still compelled Josie to end each performance with a bow, though it was now more of a head nod. As she lowered her gaze, the sight of her worn dancing shoes reminded her of a former time, one of lightness, when her feet would barely have touched the cold concrete and stone, a time when she felt she could fly. The hypnotized child breathed on the window pane above, forming small smudges as his tiny fingers traced circles in the damp. From many high windows, the neighborhood kids who spied Josie during forbidden hours assumed she was a passing ghost. She was content to be this object of mystery and took the opportunity to demonstrate that not all ghosts were malevolent, though Bloomsbury had plenty of those too, as she knew well. Coram Fields was especially avoided, where they clustered in every shadow, around every tomb. Innocent eyes watched as Josie moved on, offering one final wave before she disappeared. "Until tomorrow," she whispered. When she arrived at her intended destination, she reached inside a large pocket on her coat designed specially. She pulled out a folded sheet of A4 paper, carefully smoothed away its creases, and then, using her nimble fingers,
tore a succession of 2-inch-long perforations at its base. 8 frayed ears of paper curled towards Josie, each with a different ingredient for the following night's dinner and a lunch of leftovers. "Don't you find that most things taste better the day after cooking?" she was known to say. She could almost taste the lamb hot pot and cauliflower cheese as she reviewed the recipe in her head. Again, she fumbled inside her pocket and removed a clear roll of tape. She affixed the paper to the shop window, where interior refrigerators cast their spectral light over 1,000 products and lent her paper a mystical glow. Footsteps! They approached from Josie's left, in the dark. A slinky! There was no time to seek additional safety. She pressed herself to the shop door, willing herself into its very molecules. So determined was she that she appeared to melt into the glass. The hot, rasping breath of the slinky shuffled by, then faded, thankfully oblivious to her presence. His bloodshot eyes darted keenly from window to window. Finally, Josie dared to exhale. Thank you for joining me, DJ Swales, on my podcast and today's reading from my upcoming book, People of Bloomsbury. I really appreciate all of the support my listeners give me on Patreon and buying my books, and I hope you'll join me for the next episode. Thank you so much.